5. Bear with us just a little bit. We not only had to have the new pulpit today, but we had to order a new. If you were here last Sunday, you know our microphone system experienced some problems, the remote mic, and we had to order a new system altogether. The transmitters went out, and we had to have a new microphone for the pulpit because the other one wasn't long enough to reach up here. So we're, and by the way, I appreciate the work Joe Griffin did with the sound and Greg Payne. You know, when they got done with it, it was just the wooden pulpit, and those fellows spent extra time this week making it possible for us to have this morning. I appreciate that, but bear with us if the sound's a little bit different this morning. We're working on it to get it just as good as we can. All right, let's stand together, please. We're looking at Psalm chapter 5, and we're going to read the first three verses and then have our special. We're going to jump into the message this morning. Please read with me on verse number 2 as we go down through the first three verses of this chapter. David wrote, "Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning. O Lord, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." Let's pray together. Dear Father, thank you for your word. I pray as we open its pages and preach it that you'll speak to our hearts. Lord, this is an awesome responsibility to stand in front of people with the Bible and proclaim the message of God. So I pray that you'll give us your power and blessing in these few moments. Bless the song to our hearts, the singers, and the lesson and message to follow. In Christ's name, amen. Thank you. Today. We're a little later starting into the message than normal. I don't keep time of that and watch that for you so we can get on with the rest of the day's services. But I'm going to take just a little bit this morning to talk to you about praying with King David out of these verses here, particularly verse number 3. "My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up." I want to talk to you about praying with King David today. Dear Father, please bless now the message to our hearts. Thank you so much for the good song. Speak to us in these moments, I pray. Give us a measure, portion of thy power, I pray. Thank you, Lord God, for your word in the copy of our book this morning. We thank you that your word is powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. I pray that, God, you'll bless the message to the hearers. In Jesus' name, and amen. I believe prayer is one of our greatest privileges and yet one of our most difficult practices. I don't know of anything that Satan fights more in the Christian's list of responsibilities than that of this matter of prayer. It seems like it's easier to give in the offering than it is sometimes to pray. It's easier to go soul winning than it is to pray. It's easier to read your Bible than it is to pray. It's easier to be at the church services sometimes than it is to pray. It ought to give us some pause, folks, to consider how hard Satan fights an effective prayer life. He fights it all the time. Isn't it easy for your mind to wander when you kneel to pray? Or you get ready to pray and all of a sudden, man, things from yesterday and things about tomorrow or things about family members or other situations begin to bombard your thoughts. And boy, I find myself all of a sudden coming to reality and saying, hey, what are you doing? You're thinking about this and you're thinking about that. And it's prayer time. Satan fights our prayer time. And that ought to let us know something. That ought to tell us how important the matter of prayer is. In this passage, David gives us a personal testimony concerning his prayer life. We get some insight as to how he prayed to his Lord, his King, and his God. I have more opening remarks, but for sake of time, I'm going to jump right into the three things I want to point out to you about David's prayer life in this passage. Number one, I want you to see the time of his prayer. The time of his prayer. He said in verse number 3, my voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. In the morning. Now listen, friend, God did not put this in here by accident. This is not a filler, okay? There is a purpose for this. In the morning, at the beginning of the day, before the battle begins, before the temptations of the world set on him, before David ventured out into a world that was ungodly, in the morning his voice was heard. And I submit to you and I, if we're going to have an effective prayer life, the morning is a great time to begin to pray. In the morning, the time of our prayer. You know, the Bible tells us, of course, the morning is a start of a new day. And the Bible tells us over in Jeremiah, or Jeremiah tells us in Lamentations chapter 3, that the Lord's mercies and the Lord's compassions are new every morning. I love that passage. I love that scripture. I mean, brother, not left over, but fresh. Amen. I'm reminded of Ted Russell out there in Iowa when I was at the church at Marion Avenue there in Washington for those 10 years. And Ted was a man who loved his food. And Ted was one of those men who liked to cook his own food. And Ted was a good cook. And poor Ama had to always clean up after Ted cooked. Ted was one of those that, you know, was careful about how he made his food. He was careful about his diet. He only used real butter, not margarine. And he would fry his eggs swam in bacon grease or sausage grease. I mean, it swam in it. You know what I'm saying? And Ted, every morning, he would get up early and he would walk the 3 blocks from his house to the grocery store and he would buy a fresh loaf of bread every morning. And I mean, he didn't use but maybe a third of it, didn't use but maybe a half of it, didn't matter. Next morning, he went back and he brought another fresh loaf of bread. He used a third of it, and next morning, he brought another fresh loaf of bread. He didn't want anything even a day old. And you know, bread delivers every day except for Wednesday. Bread men don't deliver on Wednesday. And so he didn't have fresh bread on Wednesday. But every other day of the week, he had fresh bread. Now, that's like the Lord's mercies. That's like the Lord's compassion. They're not packaged and put on a shelf to be opened later. They're not put in a jar, sealed up for later use. They're not frozen, waiting to be thawed. The Bible says that every morning, his mercies and his compassions are new. They're new every morning. And then Jeremiah said, great is thy faithfulness. You know what he was saying when he said that? What he's saying was, every morning, God is faithful to start the day with fresh mercy
and fresh compassion. And the next day, God is faithful to start the day with fresh mercy and fresh compassion. And the next morning, God is ready to start the day with fresh mercy and fresh compassion. And God is faithful day in and day out, day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, to start every morning with fresh compassion and fresh mercy. And I want to tell you something, friend. That's a good reason to make your prayer to God in the morning. Amen. If I need anything, I need compassion. If I need anything, I need the mercy of God. I need His love in my heart. I need His mercy on my life. And the time of David's prayer, he directed his prayer to God in the morning. I would encourage you, if you want to have a good prayer life, an effective prayer life, if you're waiting till later on in the day to pray, if you're waiting till the end of the day to pray, try to rearrange your schedule. Allow for a few extra minutes at the beginning of the day, and in the morning, make your prayer to God. There's something about starting every day having spent a few moments talking to your Heavenly Father. In the morning time, the time of His prayer. But now I want you to notice number two this morning, in verse number three, the order of His prayer. The order of His prayer. Look at what He said in verse 3. He said, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee. Direct it. Like the director of the program puts the things together. There's a play or a program, and there's a director. Programs don't just organize themselves. Plays don't just organize themselves. There's a program director. And the program director puts these people in this scene at this time and these props on the stage for this scene. And we have order and we have a director there who guides and directs and creates order through the program and through the play. There is order and there is preparation. There is not confusion and there's not disarray. Like a general who places his troops and his officers in strategic locations. When you see the word direct here, it's not talking about north, south, east, and west. He's not talking about direction. He's talking about order. He's talking about direct. It's not confusion and it's not disarray like I am right now, okay? It's order and it's straightness. And there's some structure to it. There's the word I was looking for. There's order and there's structure. It was a long time in coming, I'm going to tell you that. There was order and there was structure to His prayer. That's what He means here when He says, I will direct my prayer. There ought to be some order to our prayer life. This is why a lot of folks don't get any answers to prayer. Our prayer life is confusion. It's disarray. It's whatever comes to our mind. And you know what? A lot of times things don't come to our mind. Things that are important don't come to our mind. We forget to pray about things. In John chapter 17, Jesus is praying there in the garden, His high priestly prayer, and Jesus prayed in an orderly fashion. In verses 1 through 5, He prayed for Himself. I think I mentioned this a couple weeks ago. In verses 6 through 19, He prayed for His disciples. And in verses 20 through 26, He prayed for those who would be saved in the future. Jesus Himself, the Son of God, didn't just kneel to pray and just whatever randomly came into His mind. Yeah, that's what I'll pray about. Oh, yeah, I'll pray for this and I'll pray for that. Oh, by the way, I'll pray. There was order. There was structure to the life of Jesus in His prayer time. Matthew chapter 6, Luke number 11 teach us how Jesus taught His disciples to pray in an orderly fashion. There was structure to that prayer. We taught it on a Wednesday night. Gave you 6 ways to pray when you have your prayer time. 6 things to pray. Listen, friend, He didn't give us that prayer so that every morning we could bow our heads and say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done, blah, 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 blah. And that is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen. That's not how God intended for us to pray. That's not why He gave that prayer. He gave that prayer as an outline, as a structure, those 6 matters there that we taught on. The structure, the order of prayer. That's what I'm talking about here. We spend our time, but in reality, we spin our wheels when it comes to prayer time. This is where a prayer list comes in as a great help, or at least some outline of prayer. Did you hear Kevin Walker last Sunday night? He talked about the word pray at the very end of his message. He talked about using the word pray as an acrostic, P-R-A-Y. And I'll be honest with you, I think I remember what he said. But this is what I wrote down. If you can't think of anything else when it comes to prayer time, think of the little word pray. P-R-A-Y. P. Praise and thanksgiving. That's the proper way to begin your prayer time. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I mean, brother, the proper way to pray. Here's what most of us do. Now, dear Heavenly Father, please help me today. And I need this and I need that. And God, my car's about to break down. And Lord, I need to raise it at the work. And I need this. And Lord, our child's been sick. And it's ask. And we'll talk about that. That's fine. But I want to tell you something, friend, to pray properly, to pray in the right spirit that Jesus taught us to pray in, to pray with some order and some structure. It's good to begin the prayer time with a few moments of praise and thanksgiving for who God is, where He is. God, you're a wonderful God. You're a loving God. You're a merciful God. You're a gracious God. And I worship you and thank you for who you are this morning. That's a good thing to do. The letter P, pray and thanksgiving. And then you got the letter R. Request forgiveness. Request forgiveness. Every child of God ought to be requesting forgiveness on a daily basis. Folk, we don't have a once a week time where we go to somebody in a robe with a collar turned backwards and confess our sins once a week. That's not found in the Bible. What's found in the Bible is what David prayed, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. And see if there be any wicked way in me. And Lord, I know I disappointed you today in this matter. Lord, I know I didn't just disappoint you. I know I disobeyed you today in this matter. And Lord, I just flatly disobeyed you in this area and I lost my temper. And Lord, would you please put your finger on anything else in my heart? Would you please put your finger on anything else today that displeased you? I want to confess it. I want to go to bed with a clean heart. I don't want to wake up tomorrow morning and approach you at the beginning of a new day with a dirty heart. Amen. Request forgiveness. That's a good thing to do as you start today. And as you at the close of that, request forgiveness. The letter A, ask for needs. There's nothing wrong with asking for needs. Nothing at all. The Bible tells us to ask for things. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Do you ever think about those three words? Ask, seek, knock. A, ask, K. God put that right in the Bible for us. Ask. It's not wrong to ask. Ask for your daily needs. Ask for daily bread. Ask for this. Ask for that. As long as it's not for luxuries and unneeded items, as long as it's within the boundaries of right and good and helpful, it's okay to ask for things. John Rice wrote that famous book, Prayer, Asking, and Receiving. And the Bible tells us in the book of James that a lot of God's people don't get what they ask, what they need because they don't ask for it. You have not because you ask not. So that's another part of praying. And then you take the letter Y, P, praise and thanksgiving. R, request forgiveness. A, ask for needs to be met. And then take that letter Y, yield to His will. Now, friend, if that's all you do, if you take that little word pray and those four letters and you make that your structure of prayer, I'm going to tell you something that's better than getting down on your knees, and dear Lord, now please, dear Lord, well, I pray that you help me today and help my wife. Lord, bless my husband. And, oh, Lord, yes, help me with this. And then, dear Lord, bless all the missionaries. And, Lord, we had that missionary at church Sunday, Brother Westenberger. And then, Lord, Lord, I pray that you'll bless the church. And the confusion. And our God is not a God of confusion. Our God is a God of order. And thank God it's coming quickly now. Structure. That's what He is. And that's how we ought to pray. And this is exactly what David meant when he said, I will direct my prayer to you. He's not talking about the direction north, east, south, or west. He's talking about, Lord, here is an orderly, structured prayer I'm bringing to you. And God, I'm going to talk to you in this order and in this fashion. I mean, brother, the time of his prayer was in the morning. The order, the structure of his prayer, it wasn't chaotic. It wasn't random. There were things that meant something to David. He wanted God to bless him. So we learned about the time of his prayer. And then we learned about the order of his prayer. And then thirdly, and this is the one I wanted to talk about this morning most of all, and I saved most of my time for it. We talk about the direction of his prayer. Now, we just talked about the order of his prayer, but now I want to talk to you about the direction of his prayer. Look at the last three words of the verse here. He said, I'll direct my prayer unto thee. That's order. That's structure. unto thee, and I'll direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. There's the direction. What an important part of an effective prayer life, to look up. You say literally look up? You don't have to literally look up. I will tell you, it doesn't hurt. That's where He lives. God doesn't live on this earth. God is seated high in the heavens. His throne is not of this world. His throne is above this world. His throne is lifted up. And there is none higher than Him. There is none greater than Him. There is none stronger than our God. There is none wiser than our God. Why shouldn't we look up? Why wouldn't we look up? God, David said, Lord, I'm going to direct my prayer to you in the morning. It's going to be structured and it's going to be orderly. And I'm going to look up because you are who I need. Lord, you are the one I need. What a great way to start the day. Look up. You know what that direction signals, friend? That direction signals hope. You see, He is the hope of our prayer. He is the hope of my prayer life. Listen to me. The hope of my prayer life is not in some fancy words. Fancy words don't mean anything. In fact, God said He gets sick of vain repetition. He was sick of the fanciness of the Pharisees' prayers who stood out on the sidewalk and prayed these great orations to impress people. The effectiveness of my prayer is not found in fancy words. The effectiveness, the hope of my prayer is found in the one who is seated on the throne in heaven. You've heard me tell before, John Rice used to hold those citywide revival meetings back in his day. Several churches would cooperate and go together for a revival meeting. And Dr. Rice would be the guest evangelist. He would be the moderator for the meeting. He would do the preaching. And the pastors whose churches were participating in the meeting would sit on the platform with Brother Rice. And one time he had a great crowd, unbelievable crowd of people there, and he brought the gospel message. He gave the invitation. And when he asked the audience, how many of you are lost without Christ, you're unsaved, not sure of heaven, would you raise your hand? He said at least 50 adults raised their hand. 50. He said God was in that service. His heart was so moved. He invited one of the pastors that was sitting on the platform to come pray. Said, Brother so-and-so, will you come have prayer for the invitation? And the pastor stepped to the pulpit and started into this religious, oh, God, our Father, in this weird voice. Let me tell you, what's that? Who are you trying to impress? We thank Thee, O God, our Father of creation, for all that exists in the world today. Started praying about all this stuff and praying for God's work and all these great big theological terms. And Dr. John Rice said the whole time he was praying, you could just feel the Holy Spirit of God leaving that place. Man finally finished giving his speech. Oh, he quoted scripture verses. We thank Thee, O God, that Thou hast said in Thy Word in Isaiah chapter this and Jeremiah chapter this and Psalm chapter this and quoted the Scripture. And Dr. Rice said they gave the invitation. Not one person came forward. Grieved him badly. The people dispersed. The crowd left. People were standing. The pastor was still standing around. And Dr. Rice, I don't know how many of you ever got to hear him preach in person, but he was a blessing. They called him the sweetest man that ever slit anybody's throat. And if you ever heard him preach, he wasn't a screamer. He wasn't a yeller. And he kind of wears glasses down and nose like that. They'd talk over his glasses and talk for a little while like this and talk home, grandbrother, and talk on like that. I got to hear him 4 years in a row for a week at a time up at the college. And got to eat lunch with him one time. About 10 or 12 of us won a contest, and I was one of the winners. We got to eat lunch with John Rice. We thought, oh boy, this is going to be something. You know what it was? Dear Father, thank you for the food. In Jesus' name, amen. That's what it was. Amen. He's a normal person. So he went to that pastor. Well, my brother, he said, thank you for being in the meeting, and what a wonderful prayer you prayed at the close of the service this morning. That's quite a prayer. Quite impressive. And even quoted the scripture and gave God the references so he could look it up in his Bible. That man became indignant and he became angry and he said, I'll have you know I didn't give those verses for God. I gave them for the people. And Brother Rice said, to whom do you pray? Ouch. Huh? I'm going to tell you something, friend. The hope of my prayers being answered is not in some fancy word. If the hope of our prayers being answered is in some fancy words, Peter would be dead. Would have been dead a long time before he died. He was sinking in that water and he didn't have time for, oh, Father, thou art, huh? Lord, save me. Amen. I'm talking about the hope of our prayer. Look up. That's where he sits. That's where he is. That's where he resides. I don't need the fancy words. I'm not trying to impress anybody. Even praying in front of your family, even praying in front of a Sunday school class, friend, there's no need for fanciness. What we need is effectiveness. And the direction of our hope is look up. That's where he sits. Think about your small children. Huh? When they need something, when they're in pain, when they're afraid, you know what they do. They come to you and they tug on your pants, they tug on your skirt, they tug Daddy, Mommy, Daddy. And what are they doing? What's the direction of their request? Those little heads are turned up, straight up. Daddy, they're looking up. They know if their answer, if their request is going to be answered, the direction it's going to come from is up. My dad, my mom, they look up. They hold their little hands in the air and they hold and their little fingers and they look up. I want to tell you something, friend. We have a heavenly Papa. We have a heavenly Father that sits on the throne of heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. I'm not trying to trivialize prayer. I'm not trying to but I am saying, I'm going to tell you something. I don't see a thing wrong with the child of God lifting his hands, amen, and looking up and talking to his heavenly Father, oh God, amen. So I just couldn't do that. Well, don't. But I'm going to tell you something David said. He said, I'll look up. He said, in the morning, I'm going to look up. I'm going to recognize where you are. I'm going to recognize I need your help. I'm going to recognize the hope of my prayer life, the hope of my request being answered is with you, God, where you sit. If you want to be distressed, look within. There's no help in that direction, friend. That's what happens to God's people. They start looking within to find the answers and find the strength that they need to go on. I'll tell you something. There's no help within. The answer to our problems, the wisdom we need, the strength, the discernment, the power, the encouragement, it does not reside within us. If you're going to look within for help, you're going to get distressed. If you want to be defeated, look back. Boy, I tell you what, looking back over your past can defeat you. Looking back. You want to be distracted? Look around. Look around. I tell you what, I didn't know that Ben would live to be 15. That boy, when he was 2 and 3 and 4 years, I'd never seen anybody so distracted in all my life. He'd visit with me on the bus route. His head was just like this the whole time. He walked into posts. He walked into poles. He walked into corners. He walked in, he got his head split at Marion Avenue in the auditorium because he walked into a corner post. He was so distracted, he'd look everywhere except for straight ahead. Everywhere. It's a little bit like God's people today. We get our eyes on everything around us, friend, we can get distracted. You want to be disappointed? Look to man. Man in his best state, the Bible says, is altogether vanity. Hey, you want something? You want to be delighted? You'll never be disappointed looking that direction. David said, God, in the morning, I'll direct my prayer unto you. And then he added, and will look up. Some of you know Dr. Tom Malone preached here a couple, 3 years ago, maybe 4 years ago. A great man of God. old now, I guess 90 years of age, not preaching out anymore. Just a tremendous man, widely used. Said he flew into a city one time to be with a preacher for a few days. Said that preacher picked him up at the airport, and they were driving back to the place where he was going to stay. He was sitting in the passenger seat, and the preacher was driving, and they were having a conversation. Every so often, the preacher would just look out the window. Little Malone said he's looking out like this, you know. He'd drive a little bit longer, and pretty soon the preacher would look out the window. Tom Malone watched him do that for two or three days. Finally, he got the best of him. He said, "Sir, can I ask you a question? Who are you waving to?" He said, "Oh, I'm just waving at the Lord." He said, "I'm just waving at the Lord." Tom Malone said he sat in the passenger seat and thought to himself, "How ridiculous. Waving at God." He flew home, landed at Pontiac, Michigan, got his car to go back to Pontiac, flew out of Detroit and got in his car to drive to Pontiac, said on the way back to Pontiac, I found myself doing it. That's what David said. See, there's no strict guideline, friend, concerning the posture of your body when it comes to prayer time. There's no strict prayer time, no strict posture. You say, if I pray, I've got to be like this. I've got to be on my knees, and I've got to be with my hands folded, my head bowed. That's okay if you want to do that. But I'm going to tell you something. You know what Jesus did in the garden? That's what he did, John 17:1. Said he lifted up his eyes. He lifted up his eyes. Did you ever tell somebody, "I got to go see Brother so-and-so, and I'm not going to call him. I'm going to go see him because I want to sit down and I want to talk to him face to face." Huh? Usually that's important, isn't it? You reckon the time we spend with the Lord is important to me and you? You reckon it's important to our well-being? You're saying, "Pastor, you're trying to tell the whole church to go home and everybody start looking up in the morning?" I don't know how you're going to pray, friend, but I'm going to tell you something. The direction of your prayer, the direction of your hope, the direction of your request, if you want that thing to get done, it's not found in fancy words, and it's not found in a strict body posture. It's found in Him. He is who we need. And our hearts need to look up, look up, look up. We cannot look God in the eyes, but it sure wouldn't hurt us to look His direction. David said, "Unto thee will I look up." I'll tell you a story, and we'll be done this morning. It is certain that the only direction we can look for salvation, to be forgiven from sin and to escape hell, the only direction we can look is up. Isaiah 45:22 says this, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else." Listen to me. If you're looking at the baptistry as your hope for heaven, you're looking in the wrong direction. And if you're looking for your name on a church member's on a church roll somewhere, you're looking in the wrong direction. And if you're looking at your American citizenship or your card that Jorge and Julio make you, amen, that was hilarious, wasn't it? That was hilarious. Whatever you need, we can make. Amen. If you're looking at your citizenship, your family heritage to get you to heaven, you're looking the wrong direction. You know what God said? "Look unto me." Charles Spurgeon was 15 years old. And he had a desire to have his eternal destiny settled. He wanted to be saved, didn't know how to be saved. So he decided to attend a church. And on a Wednesday night, he started out to go to a certain church, and there was an unusual, horrible snowstorm in England that night where he lived, in London. And he could not make it to the church he planned to go to. So he slipped in the door of a primitive Methodist church. And because of the snowstorm, there was only a handful of people there, and they were having a song service. And Spurgeon went in, just started singing with them. And they sang and they sang and they sang. They were waiting on the preacher to show up. But the snowstorm was so bad, the preacher couldn't get there. The preacher of the church was supposed to have he couldn't get there because of the snowstorm. And finally, after singing for a long time, Spurgeon said, a little thin man took his Bible. He was a layman. He was a shoemaker. He came to the pulpit and he opened his Bible. And he read Isaiah 45:22. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. And Spurgeon said he talked for about 10 minutes. And then he seemed to be finished because he didn't have an outline. He didn't have a message. Spurgeon said he thought he was done. And then Spurgeon said he fixed his eyes right on me. And he said, I guess he realized that I was a guest. And so he said directly to me, young man, you look very miserable. Spurgeon said later, I did look miserable, but I had not been accustomed to have remarks made from the pulpit about my personal appearance. But he said, you know what? It got to his heart. And the man said, he went on, said, young man, you look miserable. And you always will be miserable, miserable in life and miserable in death if you don't obey my text. But if you obey now, this moment, you will be saved. And Spurgeon said, that little man lifted his hands up in the air. And Spurgeon said he shouted as only a primitive Methodist could shout. I didn't know they shouted. But I guess back in the 1800s they did. And he said that man shouted, young man, look to Jesus Christ. Look, look, look. That's all he said. And he said, you have nothing to do but look and live. And Spurgeon said, I saw at once the way of salvation. I had been wanting to do 50 things in order to be saved. But when I heard the word look, the light went on. The cloud was gone, the darkness rolled away, and that moment I saw the sun, and I could have risen that instant and sung with the most enthusiastic of them of the precious blood of Christ and the simple faith which alone looks to Him. That's an incredible story. A snowstorm, an absent preacher, a shoemaker, and Isaiah 45:22. Were all used by God to bring a 15-year-old boy to Christ who simply looked. And he went on to become the Prince of Preachers. David said, in the morning, that's the time, will I direct, that's the order. You know what you need to get away from? Well, dear Lord, help me this morning and be with my wife and Lord, be with my kids and Lord, thank you for the day, and Lord, bless everybody, and it's chaos. There's a ramble. David said, I'm going to have some order and structure. And David said, God, the most important thing, I'm looking in your direction. Because if I have any hope, it's from there. It's not from here. It's not from here. It's there. Amen. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening this morning. Let me ask a couple of questions today. Let the Lord speak to our hearts for a few moments here in the quietness of the moment. Who would say, Pastor Angel, I know that I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd go to heaven. I don't doubt that for a minute. I'm saved and I know it. If you could give that testimony this morning, would you lift your hand, please, as a sign of it? I'm saved and I know it. Don't be dishonest. Please be honest. That's all I ask. Thank you. Take your hand down. Is there somebody here? Pastor, I'm not sure that I'm saved. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand this morning? Let me pray for you. Anybody like that in the room this morning from front to back or side to side, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. It's a simple matter, friend. Look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God. And there is none else. It's the look of salvation. Pastor Angel, pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Here this morning listening, my eternal destiny is not settled. Pray for me. Anybody like that? Would you lift a hand today? Now, if you're here this morning, you've been saved, but you haven't followed the Lord in believer's baptism, I'd like to pray for you this morning. Maybe you ought to be obedient. Maybe you came today to get baptized. If you're here and you came for that purpose, or you haven't been baptized, you know you should be. Would you raise your hand? Let me pray for you this morning. Anybody like that? You came today to follow the Lord in believer's baptism, or you haven't yet been baptized. You need to know more about it. Anybody like that? All right. Who's here today, Pastor? I'm saved. I've been baptized. But man, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning. The time of David's prayer, the order of his prayer, and most of all, the direction of his prayer. Pray for me. My prayer life needs help. God spoke to me about it this morning. Would you raise a hand all over the room this morning? And I join you. I join you. Thank you. Take your hand down. If you're here today and the Lord spoke to your heart, why not use this altar? It's a good place to begin to pray. Our work is not finished here, but a lot of times it's begun here. It's a place of humility. It's a place of humbleness. It's a place of acknowledging before God whatever He's talked to your heart about. This would be a good place this morning to start to say, Lord, tomorrow morning, I want to make my prayer to you. Help me, oh God, get disciplined and get a schedule and get a prayer list and get some order. But most of all, help me to look up. Help me to look up. This is a good place to start that today. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. My Heavenly Father, I love you this morning. I wish I could preach with great authority and experience on the matter of prayer. Oh, how Satan fights that. Oh, how Satan gives me fits with it. Lord, I would be foolish before you this morning to stand up as some authority on this subject. But I have a Bible and I have a pattern here in King David's life that I can follow. And God, I pray that you'll help me and I pray that you'll help these dear people. Lord, prayer is so vitally important to us. Help the time of our prayer to be right and the order of our prayer and most of all, the direction. Lord, we do look up to you. We have no other direction to look. We must look up. We must have your help. Please meet our needs. Give us thy power. Strengthen us, O God. Cleanse our hearts from all sin. Thank you for sending Christ to die for us. O Lord, you are worthy of our praise and our thanksgiving. And you sit up in heaven. And God, we lift up our eyes to you. Thank you so much. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Let's stand together, please. If the Lord spoke to your heart this morning, it's time to get saved. It's time to get baptized. It's time to pray as the ladies play. This is the time. Would you come this morning and use the altar? May the altar be busy with God's people through business with the Lord today. If you're not sure that you're saved, Brother Mike Johnson is right here. He'll be ready to help you this morning. You come and see Brother Mike. He'll meet you. And if you're here to be baptized, you come as the Lord moves upon your heart today. Prayer time with King David. Time of his prayer, the order of his prayer, and the direction of his prayer. Would you come today, please? Let the Lord speak to your heart. God bless you. Thank you so much. Oh Lord, unto thee in the morning I'll direct my prayer and will look up. May God use the message for our benefit this morning. You want to join the church? You can visit with myself or Brother Caleb Buddy. Join now is the time to come.